Good Monday morning, everybody, and welcome on into your FreightWaves Now community spotlight for this Monday. I'm Kaylee Nix, and it's time to check in with our retail and CPG-focused show, The Stockout. Joining us today is one of our lovely hosts. We've got Grace Sharkey on the line. Grace, this is the first time that we've gotten to talk to you about The Stockout in a couple weeks because you've been jet-setting all over the world, more than Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, I think. Where have you been?
I haven't been to Australia, so we can mark that one off. It's not going there. No, I spent, of course, some time in Las Vegas for the Manifest Conference, which was great. A lot of the guests that were on my panels were actually working on getting on the show for the Stockout. A lot of diving into like subscription models, of course, visibility, and what shippers in particular are looking more for from their logistics providers. So we can look forward to that. I also got to take a personal trip to Hawaii, which was a lot of fun. And actually, in the latest episode of the Stockout, I got a chance to shout out an interesting retail store that's definitely monopolized itself on those islands, ABC Stores. So they got a good chunk of my savings while I was there, you could say that. So it was a wonderful time, and also got to get some work done as well. So win-win for everyone.
There you go. Well, we're glad to have you back with us. And just really quickly before we dive into today's topic, I want to get your thoughts on Manifest. Obviously, we know it's kind of the big kickoff to conference season. It's that big first logistics conference that happens in Vegas. How was it? And what was kind of the general pulse on where everybody's at as we're headed into 2024?
Yeah, well, it was really great, especially because there's a lot of shippers. Like every panel does have at least one shipper on it, so you not only get to hear maybe more from the tech side, but you also get to hear from the outcome, right, from the shippers as well. I will say there was a much bigger presence of visibility, but in the form of more of like proactive visibility. So making sure you're clearing customs, making sure that your suppliers are following child labor laws, making sure that you can be resilient in a situation where tariffs could, and we've got election season coming up too, where possible tariffs could be listed. And then you have to consider where else you might have to buy products and supplies from. So a lot of more detail into those areas, not just like visibility of like, where's my container, but like how we're going to get it through the port and avoid congestion or any slowdown, demurrage charges, et cetera. And I would say on this other end is there was almost like a little bit of lack of more of the autonomy in regards to trucks. Like the last time I went, I feel like there was Nikola was there, but there seemed to be more of a presence of like companies like Gatik and that nature. So not to say that that won't be their gear this year. I know that a lot of those companies are working on some interesting stuff, but I think especially from the shipper perspective, they're more concerned about, you know, how they can watch their inventory and keep themselves resilient no matter what black swan or market conditions are ahead of them.
I think that that's a perfect segue into our topic today, right? Talking about resiliency, but this time from a retailer standpoint. And we're talking theft today, which is a very interesting topic and one that is honestly very timely in all times of things, right? And talking about technology, specifically RFID tech and how that's helping some of these retailers prevent theft. Give us a little overview about RFID technology and really where it falls in both inventory management, but also in theft protection.
Yeah, well, it's a type of technology that uses radio frequencies to transmit data to see where objects are moving in between from. And about 61% of retailers, according to a study, are planning to adopt more of this in 26, or up into 26, so over the next couple of years. I think the biggest issue that they're concerned with is, one, they're using it for inventory movement and management and making sure that they don't have situations where, I mean, we saw, you and I covered it a lot, Bed Bath & Beyond, right, having issues of itself managing its inventory, and that was big reason why it failed to still exist to this day. So I think a big part of this is not just theft itself, but also managing that inventory and finding different ways to watch it and accurately move it between warehouses and stores, especially for companies like Target and Walmart, who are also using stores as warehouse units as well. But you're right, a big part of this is theft too. I mean, that we're seeing more and more of this every year. I mean, I'm not excited for it, but I'm interested in seeing the NRF's report on theft again for this upcoming year and what seems to be the biggest issues. But a lot of that last year, if you remember, was actually movement between warehouses. So again, kind of making sure that nothing's coming off the truck in between those movements, that it's, and then also once it gets to the store, like being able to not only gain data from the consumer, but to also make sure that clearly things are being bought appropriately and theft is being mitigated as well. So there's a lot of different ways that you can use this. And again, goes back to what I was saying from the conference, right? It's a big focus on managing the inventory and making sure that's getting to the shelves and being bought appropriately at the same time.
So RFID technology isn't necessarily something that's new to a lot of these retailers, but seeing it deployed on a really massive scale is something that is going to be a bit of an undertaking. When you're looking at an expense to that, is there a big expense tied to using RFID tech? And is that something that could potentially get passed down to the consumer? Or are a lot of these shippers finding that it is a really worthwhile investment and they're going to end up maybe making up some of that when they look at the differences between inventory lost versus the money that they're spending on the tech?
I think that is a big part of that, is the loss aspect of it all. I actually, part of this study found that in fraudulent returns alone, there was, I believe, 13% of the $743 billion in returns, 13% of those were fraudulent themselves from the previous year. So that kind of shows you there is a value to it if that's how much is being stolen and how much they need to track as well to make sure it's actually a good of their own that's being returned, or that it wasn't stolen and then brought back in, right? That's a big scam out there you can try to pull. So I think it definitely is going to be a more of a price. But from the data that we saw the previous couple of years in regards to theft, and especially, I mean, large like truckloads of theft as well, I think this is something, especially you could honestly tag like a couple of pallets and not even tag them individually for some of those routes. So I think they'll be cautious of the amount that they're spending on this. But again, I think you're right. It goes back to how much are we losing and how much can we at least gain some of those millions of dollars back if we invest so many millions of dollars into this as well.
So let's go ahead and move on to our show coming up this morning here on The Stockout. We've got a good one coming up, and it goes back to what you were talking about at Manifest, is that shipper expectation for 2024, and if we are really truly seeing a market flip or not. Last week, we had our State of Freight for February with Craig Fuller and Zach Strickland, and there's still a lot of uncertainty abound. You can go back and watch that on our YouTube channel. But from a shipper perspective, what are they prepping for? You know, we're almost towards the end of Q1. We are out of the Chinese New Year slump. So what are they expecting?
Well, and we're going to have a really interesting episode because Sunset Transportation is going to join us. So we're going to be able to talk to them about what they're seeing from shippers. And I'm very excited to hear from them exactly how they're working with shippers for this market swing, because it will happen. And I think I don't think it's going to happen anytime this quarter or in the next. I think it will still be later into the year. But how do you prepare shippers for that flip in pricing power? And even more so, and it comes up a lot of times, even in the contract and spot spread, like how are we making sure that we aren't losing the parts of our network that have really gained our trust, gained our shipper and receiver's trust, and have helped these shippers keep their supply chains moving as well. So being such a large carrier in the space and having some of its own niches as well within transportation, I am excited to see how they're helping with that that aspect, right? It's like preparing them for any type of swing. And because it will happen, I think, this year. It's just about, you know, helping our shippers use data from companies, right, like Sonar, to gauge that and watch that and prepare for it.
And a subtle plug, if you're not on our Sonar platform, you should definitely reach out to someone from that side of the house and get on before we do see this market swing and you're left wondering, oh my God, what is happening in the space? Grace, for people who want to either catch the show or read the newsletter, where can they go to do that?
Yes, you can catch the show on Monday mornings at 10 a.m. And then it's really nice. We actually put out the newsletter on Friday afternoon, so you can kind of go into your weekend, read up on what's happening in retail and in CPG news, and then come back and join us first thing Monday morning for a recap.
Awesome, Grace. Well, thanks for joining us this morning, and we'll catch the show later on.
Thanks, Kaylee.